Michigan native Laureen Neuenhide's first professional path led her to science, working in settings from hospital laboratories to a bone marrow transplant team. But while she raised her two sons, Laureen began writing fiction.
In 2009, her short story collection, Scar Tissue, earned Neuenhide's finalist status for the Flannery O'Connor Award. And at the same time, she had always felt drawn to the Great Lakes. And so that same year, she took on a new challenge, setting out to walk the shores of Lake Michigan nearly every mile. The adventure resulted in a book called A Thousand-Mile Walk on the Beach, One Woman's Trek of the Perimeter of Lake Michigan.
Another book followed, this one about 1,000 miles of walking along the shoreline of all five Great Lakes. The last in her trilogy, A Thousand Great Lakes Island Adventures, is recently out, in which she explores islands on all the lakes.
During a recent book tour, Neuenhide met up with WUWM's Susan Bentz for a hike at South Shore Park and a look back at her three books.
It feels great. I feel a huge sense of completion. It feels odd to not be planning the next 1,000-mile adventure, but at the same time, it feels complete.
So for people who haven't dipped into the third book, the island book, talk about how you structured that.
Well, I chose islands in every Great Lake and also many of the connecting waters. The book actually begins in the city of Montreal, which mm-hmm. is on an island in the St. Lawrence River, and it ends on Isle Royal. So it goes from the most populated island on fresh water in the world to a remote island with moose and wolves, and it sets foot on over 30 islands in the basin.
And how do you feel your writing? Did you feel the writing itself coming to you differently as you move from island to island?
The structuring of that was different. It had to be more episodic just because islands themselves are more episodic. but it was nice to have time. I actually split that adventure over 2 years, so I had more time to craft the book and to look for connections and similarities and themes and to really delve into what makes an islander. Why do people choose to live on a place with watery edges? So
what are some of those reasons?
The reasons people gave me were to stay close to nature and to be part of a close community, a very interwoven community. And when you're isolated and cut off, you do rely on other people more. And I interviewed quite a few people who had gone to the mainland for school and maybe worked for a while and then were drawn back to the islands, which is fascinating. Those places call to us. Yeah.
So what's one of those communities that does stick with you in particular, Laureen?
Washington Island, the community there, was very welcoming to me and my questions and probings. And Manitoulin Island was also a very fascinating community. About 40% of that island are First Nations people. And so the native and non-native communities are interwoven there. And that was fascinating to explore.
So look at this lake.
Yeah. Still my favorite Great Lake.
So you've been traveling, talking with people about the book. What do you find people are asking or talking to you about?
They always ask me my favorite island. and after I give the presentation, I have a presentation with videos and photos from the adventures. People are always astonished at how diverse the islands are. And, you know, they're usually asking me, which one should I go to first? I think very few people even know about Manitoulin Island, the largest island in the Great Lakes Basin. It's 700,000 acres. And, yeah, it's part of Canada. I mean, you have to kind of plan to get there. But when I went there, I drove up through the Upper Peninsula and then south and then went on the bridge to the island. But then I took the ferry to the tip of the Bruce and drove back. So I actually drove all the way around Lake Huron. And that was a beautiful area to explore, and I had never been on the Bruce Peninsula either, so that's just gorgeous land.
Very cool. So I know you said that the trilogy is the right way to end the adventures and the explorations and the stories that you want to tell. But we also talked recently about the idea that an environmental lawyer who was in Milwaukee, now teaches in Vermont, had a Great Lakes,
yes.
Great Lakes Trail.
Yeah, Melissa Scanlon. I think giving access to people to all the areas of where water meets land is a great idea because it keeps people in touch with what's happening at that edge. When you just give them access to pretty beaches and cleaned up little towns, they don't know what happens in between. And that's one thing I appreciated about the Waterfront Trail in Canada. It went everywhere. So I think that's a great idea. I think a lot of people conceptualize that we're going to put a trail down all over the Great Lakes, and that's not the concept. It's just giving people the legal right, like we have in Michigan. The state of Michigan has a public corridor wherever there's a high water mark. So that's the law in Michigan. That's not the law throughout the basin.
So have you felt a sense of activism growing through these last 6.5 years?
Oh, certainly. Certainly. When I began my first hike, I thought the first book would be about conveying how beautiful Lake Michigan is. And that was a big part of that book, but I was also astonished at how fragile the ecosystem is and how we've messed it up over and over again. And we need to be vigilant about these waters. They just did a mock cleanup of an oil spill up by the Straits of Mackinac. Okay, so they had boats out there, they had booms, and they said it would be a successful cleanup if we could get 30% of the oil, if we would recover 30% of the oil. So that means they're saying 70% of an oil spill is perfectly acceptable to be spread around the Straits of Mackinac, onto those beautiful islands, onto the shoreline. And that is just absurd. And they didn't even mention if the ice is covering the land or the water at that time. If we have ice coverage and there's an oil spill, you're not recovering any of it. There's nothing you can do. It's just going to stay there until the ice melts. So, no, I am all for proactive measures to protect these waters, and removing the pipeline that goes through the straits is certainly something that needs to be done immediately.
So it's compelling to think about, you know, especially as every day goes on, where our society seems more connected to gadgets.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe you didn't even think of taking music or other stuff.
I disconnect as much as possible. In fact, there were places I would have left my cell phone behind, but my mom gets all upset. So so I always had a cell phone, but it was always off, you know, unless I was making a call or checking in. But yeah, I like to disconnect.
Huge influence on your experience.
Yeah, yeah. It's nice to have long connected thoughts. And as I was doing these adventures, I was always reading a lot and doing a lot of research. So having those days where I was just hiking along the shoreline that I had read about, or the island that I had just researched, allowed me to process all that information and to make connections with what I was seeing in person.
So have you finished the novel we last talked about, or is that
yes.
on the verge?
No, the one that's called Tumor Board, or a second title I have is Within the Walls of Grace, because it takes place at Grace Hospital set in Detroit. That novel is complete, so that I'm trying to get that out there to agents, and I'm working on a second novel at this point.
So do you want to talk about the storyline of the first, or you want to save it?
I'll save it, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Even after finishing her Great Lakes trilogy, writer Laureen Neuenhuis continues to live and write in Michigan.
Her latest book is called 1,000 Great Lakes Island Adventures. She spoke and hiked with Susan Bentz at South Shore Park.